B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hear me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog.
We got our beefs, bro.
Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
Got our beats, bro. Got our beefs, bro.
Green rings, French fries.
French fries.
And beef.
Bro. A big bag of beef.
Onion rings, French fries, and beefs.
Be the third power.
I can't believe how expensive roast beef sandwiches are.
Big bag of beef.
Just when I bought them for the show, $13 was how much. I think Kelly's like roast beef is like $12.95.
Just put a B and a little three up in the next to it. And say, so that's what I want. Bag of beef. Take away the F, just put the O. Save me some time. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program, and I have not had a roast beef sandwich from a roast beef place in years and years and years. They don't put them out by me.
I was tempted to get one when I bought the bag for the show, but I don't know. There's something about I can't do like lunches that have like burgers and beef and stuff like it. Just I mean it'll wreck me. I'll eat anything at night. I will, but for some reason I've gotten to that age where I if in the middle of the day I just can't eat something heavy.
It's
like that.
It's the one thing the Street of Dreams near me does not have.
Really?
We do not have anything like that.
The Metro West I don't think has much in terms of beefs. Now Newton has nothing.
North Shore is it's an embarrassment of riches over there.
Yeah.
The culture must insist upon it if they can keep that many around, because you would figure that you could, if it was popular, just if you thought roast beef, when you thought of Massachusetts, you would think that they would just be able to subsist like one in Newton or Needham, and then you know where John lives, where the house prices plummet and the, and anything's allowed to happen. It's all
sure. It's where the kid gangs run the street. You
it's
know?
All devil may care.
Right.
It's it's like a Clockwork Orange over there. You would figure that they would have one out there, but they proved not to be successful. In fact, Newton is so weird that we don't have a car wash anymore. There's no car wash. The closest car wash is well into Waltham. Well into Waltham. I mean, like a nice 25-minute drive into Waltham if you want that pollen off your car.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of COVID, got rid of all that in Needham, all that out by Channel 5.
Mm.
That's all gone. I don't know what they're putting in there. They got rid of Moosey Ford, where I bought my car years ago.
It's crazy how, like, nobody...
Does it come?
If you want to piss off people in New England, just tell them that you miss Arby's. Like, oh, well, you know what? Then if you're so into, like, the classic roast beefs, start opening places that aren't on the shore.
Yeah, the problem with the classic roast beef places is they taste too much like roast beef. It's like a roast beef that you would eat. Because, like, you don't go... what do you want for dinner? Like, oh, like when you go out to dinner, you don't go, like, oh, I'll have, like, some roast beef. Generally,
yeah,
it's not like you don't go to like a decent restaurant and then they'll have roast beef. I mean, that's not something you want. So the magic of Arby's is they've created a meat that's just sliced hot dogs.
Yeah, it's just like big, wet, sliced, thin sliced hot dogs on a bun that seeps right into the actual meat itself.
I've got it, but I will never get Arby's again. I can't say that, but I won't get it on purpose, unless it's offered or forced upon me. because the last time I got it, it was, it just, the whole situation at the place I got it was running amok. It was, it, they didn't look like they were living up to any of their end of their bargain in terms of cleanliness.
I will say this, Fred, if you were to get a roast beef, I know that you would want one like Mike's. Like Mike's is the kind that I know you like, where the bun kind of goes into the top. It's not enormous.
What's the one at the airport?
Kelly's, I think. Okay, I think that's Kelly's.
That's Kelly's.
Yeah. Kelly's is good. It's just, it's too big for me. Like, they're huge.
Not at the airport.
Oh, okay. Because I think the classic, because I've gotten, I think, the classic roast beef at Kelly's. It's massive. And it's good, but it's not my favorite type. I like the kind that's, like, almost like you could squish it into a ball if you wanted to.
Well, that's the idea. Just you're a big fan of the Fenway frame.
All right.
You can squish into a ball.
It's two different types of things. It's
the Fenway Frank. I can't stop thinking about how I took a bite of it, and it was cooked to the way it's supposed to be cooked and everything else, and I started to dry heave.
It was
so disgusting.
It's just they don't try.
I'd love hot dogs too. I grew up in a place that is famous. One of its most famous delicacies is the Coney dog. But the Coney dog, I mean, you want to talk about every corner, like legitimately, you can't go a mile, Detroit, suburban Detroit, anywhere around Detroit without a Coney Island within at least a mile, most likely more than one per mile. A lot of places, if there's foot traffic, one per block.
Where was the hotel I stayed at when they were playing, Townsend? Yeah, when I stayed at the Townsend, there were two, and it was remarkable you bring this up because there were two of them within a 3-block radius I was staying.
You were by Leo's,
yeah,
which is owned by the Stassinopolises.
Okay.
Whose cat was Little Lazy.
Okay. Okay.
You know the story of Little Lady.
Maybe you've said it before, but I don't remember.
Well, the Stassinopolises, Jerry Stassinopoulos is a very good friend of mine growing up and throughout college when I came home after college. And his family are the proprietors of Leo's Coney Island, which there's one in Comerica Park now. They're swimming in it, but you would never know because his dad is like just over from Greece and like they just go to the restaurant. They don't do anything else. That's like all they do. And so his dad came home one day. And his dad is the one that we saw in the living room. We thought he was dying one day because I don't want to do this, but he was dying one day because he was going. And we were like, "What's going on?" And he was watching the Three Stooges.
Oh, okay.
They tickled his funny bone to that degree.
He was laughing.
Nice. Yes. Okay. And so anyway, one day Mr. Stassinopoulos came home, and he was lazy. And I didn't know what he was doing. I was unaware they had an animal. And all of a sudden, this beast emerged. And it might weigh, it's a normal sized cat that might weigh 70 pounds.
It's a big old beast thing.
Dragging out, like missing clumps of hair. And he's like, "Little lady, come here." And he just drops this big steak into the cat bowl. A steak. He's like, "I brought this steak home."
Oh, man.
And he put a steak in the cat bowl. Like a real steak. Like a quarter inch thick steak.
Is it a choker?
Well, I didn't know. That's obviously what the cat does all day, is the cat will eat what he brings home. And he was so pleased with himself because he provided for the family. And so but the cat obviously would gnaw on the steak 12 hours a day and then sleep it off.
Well, that was like my wife's mother had a dog that she just started feeding him peanut butter sandwiches every day. And he is ass grew into like a triangle. So it's like he had a tiny head, but his ass was enormous. And it got so fat that when it got excited, it used to kind of like jump around. But it couldn't even do that. It would like attempt to jump, but his feet couldn't leave the ground. And it was like the saddest thing. Like, I mean, just it just only grew in one place, his ass.
Yeah. They need the strict diet. Our cat is fat as hell, and it doesn't eat anything but the cat food. I don't know. It's just genetically fat, just genetically huge and fat. But there you go, the Stassinopolises.
It is weird, though, that some place like Fenway doesn't even accidentally have a good hot dog.
You can get, like, if you go out to the the outdoor concourse, they have the sausage guy, which has a hot dog that's in comparison to the Fenway Frank, like, unbelievable.
Well, there's even, like, I think there's a booth somewhere. Oh, my God. I forget which booth it is, but there is a Hebrew National stand. It's not a Fenway Frank. It's a specifically it's, Hebrew National.
And it's not a, because they have the hot dogs in the vending machines, but you're saying this is a stand.
No, this is not the Hot Nosh machine. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, because a lot of people go get a hot dog from the Hot Nosh machine, which tells you how bad Fenway Franks are.
Yeah, no, Fenway Franks, it's just we're not trying.
No, it's just disgusting. They've done everything wrong. They've taken something that's easy to do, that's good, that really, even if you just took a ballpark Frank and grilled it and put it in a regular bun, mm-hmm. it'd be fine and everyone would be happy, even though that's not the greatest, right? Like, you're not going to go buy ballpark Franks, most likely. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to go buy Nathan's or something that's with natural casing and enjoy yourself. But, you know, but a ballpark Frank, you're at the game, whatever you're drinking. Who cares? The Fenway Frank is everything is wrong. So if you go out to the outdoor area, mm-hmm. there's like the sausage guy and everything, which is fine.
It's also a sin that they charge as much as they do for a Fenway Frank. Fenway Franks are thin. There's not a lot to them. As you said, there's not the natural casing. They barely cook it.
They're not, I wish they were thin. They're like short ballpark Franks that they steam and then stick in Wonder Bread. And it's just everything is wrong with it. Like, who's boiling hot dogs, A? And then when you boil something and make it wet, why would you take the most, like, a sponge? And, like, who wants wet food? And people go to those games, man, and they hold up the Fenway Franks, and they're, I mean, they really do. Like, it's quite a scam. People, like, they hold them up, and they're like, like, I'm having three. You're like, how are you eating that? It's gross. It's just gross. I took a bite of one. My son, because I thought he was at a place where you could get it grilled. Mm-hmm. But it was, I went to pee, and then I came back to him, and he goes, I'm really sorry, but I got your Fenway Frank. I go, don't worry about it. So I took a bite out of it.
I like how he apologized.
He did. He goes, I'm sorry. And I go, don't worry. I go, it's all right. That's because I'm a good dad. And then I took a bite of it, and I started going, and then it bothered me, like, the rest of the day. Like, the taste of it, like, bothered me the rest of the day.
Right, like,
God, is it gross.
I wasted that, you know, when you go to a game, you accept that I'm going to have, like, some crappy food. This right. is the one day I'm going to have crappy food, something's not great for me. And if you waste it on something that's just not, like, that's disgusting, then get that.
Well,
it's not disgusting. See, I don't find them disgusting. I just think it's a waste.
No, it's just disgusting. It's like I bet you they're not even that bad for you. I mean, I guarantee, because there's not enough there. I bet you they're not 200 calories. With the bun, maybe. But it's not. I guarantee you, if you ate a Fenway Frank a day, you're not going to die. It's not even like a heavy lunch. I bet you there's less calories in a Fenway Frank by far than there is a 6-inch turkey sub. But you'd eat a turkey sub, except for the carbs, and you would think that you were fine.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you there's not a lot of calories in it. None of the psychological stuff matters. It's just gross. It's disgusting. And this is where I have my tickets. This is where I've invested my leisure income, is this place with these stupid hot dogs that I can't eat.
Okay, Fenway Frank with a bun is 351 calories, according to MyFitnessPal.com.
It's wrong.
And 21 grams of fat.
Well, how much is the bun? The bun itself is what?
Put in how many calories in a Kayem Frank, K-A-Y-E-M Frank, which might be fine if they were grilled. My Fitness Pal, a lot of it is people guesstimating. When I lost weight, I used my Fitness Pal. It was very frustrating because sometimes it would be right and sometimes it would be wrong.
All right. It says 150
yes,
calories.
On the nose.
But this is a natural casing one.
All right, so just say it's 150 calories around there, approximately. I bet you the bun's 150 calories. It's 300 calories for everything. And then if you put mustard, that's 2 calories. So you're out of there with 300 calories. I think you'll be fine. The 300 calories is, you could eat a lot of them. You could have 5 a day.
I think for me, it's just the way that it hits my stomach, the quality of the meat.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not the calories or the fat. It's just like, you know, when you've had a hot dog in your stomach.
I don't know. I eat them all the time in Detroit, and I eat them. I'll grill them at home. I got no problem with the hot dog. Just the Fenway Frank is absolutely disgusting, and a real shame because it's they made it as poorly as you could make it. They really checked all the boxes. All right. Yesterday, eventually, they said, you know what? We got a ball. We got a couple of guys. Let's throw this, toss this thing in the air. It's about time. Because they waited.
I said, I think 8:50. It was 8:47. I looked down. 8:47 to tip off.
They said, let everyone relax after the draft lottery.
We're going to milk every ounce of primetime viewing we can out of this thing.
And they did.
Going to call a million fouls.
But we knew it was going to happen.
We're not done until 11:30. We're going to keep playing.
And so, and if you're up right now, you don't like it. So, I mean, you didn't like it either if you're up right now. So we'll get into why they lost and the third quarter. The defensive, apparent defensive deficiencies of, they were kind of mean to Pritchard yesterday, apparently.
Well, he got targeted, but I mean,
constantly.
That's what happens when a bunch of starters are out.
It's not nice.
It is very not nice.
The kid dribbled balls until his hands bled, and this is the way you treat him? All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Think we're superstars.
Oh, no. We get kicked in the reality nuts about once a week.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? Just as sure as our off-air discussion has come to the conclusion that The Rockford Files is the best theme song in television history.
It is great. I'll put Sanford and Son right beneath it.
No, Rockford Files is better.
But Rockford Files had the twist of every time there was a new answering machine message.
That's right.
So there would be an answering machine message like, Rockford, you got AIDS. And they would go,
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be like, Rockford, it's
very
Mary.
Special Rockford Files, a two-parter.
Rockford, it's Nancy. I just wanted to let you know I'm HIV positive. All right. So the Celtics, they started late, they ended late, and they lost.
The Marcus Smart news was somewhat expected, but Al Horford, that was a shock.
He's obviously not vaccinated.
Well, we'll get into that because there's a lot of stuff and digging that...
ask his sister.
So announced just hours before the game, Marcus Smart, he bruised his foot. That was an issue enough to keep him sidelined. But Al Horford... not available technically to health and safety protocols. Rules so vague that no one seems to know what the hell the protocols are, but we'll get into that in a minute.
And if you saw pictures of, an early warm-up before the game, and not that early, but a warm-up before the game, Horford was out there.
An hour before they announced it. So like 3 hours before tip-off, he's standing out there in a big huddle with everyone. But it looked like none of that even mattered in the first half.
Tatum, handoff. Jaylen Brown, top of the circle. Turns it to Tatum. Tatum, left-hand dribble, hangs the ball low, then shoots it up high for Rob Williams for the slam. Boy, you put that piece of the Celtics offense back in there, being able to get those easy baskets with Rob Williams. It changes the dynamic.
I mean, that first half was beautiful basketball. Jason Tatum, 21 points in the first half alone. Robert Williams back in a big way on both ends of the court. Even Aaron Nesmith came out of hiding and was a defensive machine.
How did he get stretch marks on his shoulders? At one point he had very large shoulders and they shrunk. You've seen the stretch marks.
I have.
And then I was waiting for everyone to... someone on Twitter said, like, Fred had said something bad about Nesmith yesterday, which I didn't. Nesmith hasn't occurred to me.
Nesmith hasn't occurred to anyone in about 2 months.
Yeah, but he's been missing.
But to leave it to the Celtic, certain segment of the Celtic fan to take 5 minutes of Nesmith being very athletic defensively and turn that into a whole, like, well, I mean, we got Nesmith.
But when Nesmith's making plays like that, you knew it was going to be, at least for a moment, an absolute beatdown because the Celtics were up by 8.5 and it looked like there was no looking back. And then the third quarter came where everything changed.
Miami, largest lead now up to 13. steal. Oladipo knocks it away from Tatum. Tatum ties him up for a jump ball. That's going to be, I believe, the fourth turnover of the quarter for Jason Tatum.
Tatum has no legs, man.
Nope, yeah. He's got none. Celtics have made, by my man, I'm checking this back here. I'm pretty sure the Celtics have only made two shots in the quarter. 2 for 13 with 7 turnovers.
Real quick, Fred. Were you thinking what I'm thinking, Dan, in that clip?
Oh, no. What I,
oh, 100%. No, 100%. I looked right at you.
Is that a far court?
Can you play the first, oh! The first 8 seconds of that clip?
All right. Let me hear it.
All right. Let me see. Right.
I was thinking about
Miami, something. Largest lead now up to 13. Steal.
No. It's a guttural moan. It's a moan before the...
I need to hear the evidence again. I'm sorry. I can't make a judgment.
Are we sure about that?
I mean,
that?
I can't be sure that.
Let's hear this.
All right, let's hear it one more time. Right. Is this... Okay, because if it is a moan, it would be Cedric Maxwell.
Okay, it's Cedric Maxwell making a noise. Even though Cedric Maxwell gave my number to that guy in Charlotte, I'm defending him here.
All right, let's take a listen. Let's see.
It said the kid could beat me up. I'm still...
Miami... Largest lead now up to 13. Steal. Yeah.
That's Max. I agree with Fred. That's not a fart.
I mean, good ears on YouTube.
Not a fart.
Good ears on YouTube.
Well, I mean, they're always listening, always judging.
Yeah, good Come ears.
Well, so according
but,
to...
But I will tell you this, is that what we had contemplated happening is what occurred last night, is that the nightly beatings from Giannis... And then you only get the day. I mean, that has to be the explanation.
It's weird, too, because he came out flying. He scored 21 points. He looked great.
It's just
and then after halftime, everything was different.
It's just what happens. Like, you talk to, you know, I talk to people that, like, run distance. Like, just all of a sudden, like, it just, you give.
Well, think about it, too, Fred. Is that when you've got Marcus Smart, your best defender, not playing, that means everyone's got a shift, and a guy like Jason Tatum has to be just to be that more intense on defense. So all of these guys are wearing themselves down.
Or Peyton Pritchard is stuck out there for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And just like in 2020, where you saw the Heat switch Bam Adebayo onto Kemba Walker over and over and over again. Last night in the third quarter, they switched Jimmy Butler on offense onto Peyton Pritchard.
But Rich
over
is
and
speaking
over and over
more specifically on the way, the reason Tatum was so fatigued.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think, if you take that much defensive firepower away, you have to make up for it somehow. And those guys, I mean, they were merciless there in the third quarter. And you know what? Give all the credit in the world to Eric Spoelstra. How many times have I said that I think he's the best coach of the league? And what you saw
in
the third quarter, what you saw in the third quarter is a perfect example of that. They changed things up. Obviously, they got more aggressive. You got to give Jimmy Butler, obviously, a ton of credit in the world. But Miami had been the best third quarter team this postseason. And man, were they ever last night. They came out with a 22-2 run to start the half. They outscored the Celtics 39-14, and Jimmy Butler became that guy. The Celtics, I mean, they just ended up playing the worst quarter basketball that I can remember. And even worse, Fred, Tatum all of a sudden morphed into Grayson Allen.
Tatum, deep on the left side. P.J. Tucker chases him. Bad pass by Tatum. Butler steps in the passing lane, picks it off, goes the distance. Pump fake, forces it up and in. Jalen chased him down. He got there, but... A 22-2 run for Miami. Bad pass by Tatum again. Another steal for Butler. Two-hand slam and a disastrous sequence for Jason Tatum.
Butler running through the passing lane.
There was a stretch in that third quarter where Tatum had 3 turnovers in 33 seconds.
Yeah, get him out of there.
Yeah, he finished the game with 7 turnovers, tied for the most he's ever had in a playoff game. On top of that, where the Celtics had a whopping 42 points in the paint in the first half, they were only able to muster 6 in the second half.
And the other part of it is the comparison between Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum. Now, I understand Butler had a lot of time to rest. He didn't take the physical beating that Tatum did in the previous round, but Jimmy Butler is at one level the entire game. He never changes, and then you get to the third quarter, his team is down. You get to the fourth quarter, his team is down, and all of a sudden, he becomes different. And you saw that in the bubble in 2020 where he single-handedly carried Miami into the NBA Finals. You saw it again last night. 41 points, but other than those couple of steals, it wasn't spectacular. There were no high-flying dunks. As a matter of fact, I think he hit 1-3 the entire evening. He just did everything.
I don't think there's a player that I can think of more competitive in the NBA than Jimmy Butler. It's like he will not lose.
Well, you know the story when he was with Minnesota and he was, you know, it was known that he wanted to leave. And he just walked into practice and he's like, I'll take on all of you. And he went in there and just like crushed everyone and then walked out. So, yeah, he's a capable. And people that watch him, I heard a couple of people say that's the best they've ever seen him play.
I remember he actually, the story specifically, Fred, because I remember this, is that he hated the team so much and they had benched him. They had kicked him out of practice. He walked back in without being invited and took four players at the end of the bench, and they played the starting five and crushed them three games in a row. Oh, and then Butler left, and that was it. He that never played another game for Minnesota.
That was a Thibodeau team.
I think you're right about that.
That might have been, yep.
You might find this hard to believe, but Thibodeau tends to rub people the wrong way sometimes.
It's crazy because the Celtics outplayed the Heat for three quarters, but the third was such a disaster that Boston just couldn't recover. Here's Jimmy Butler afterwards, just to kind of get in his head.
That's the style of basketball we call Miami Heat basketball. Gritty, dog-like, worried about getting stops instead of worried about getting buckets.
And he's infectious, too, because it wasn't...
an announcer. He embodies all those things.
He does. maybe us two can comprehend the kind of game.
You know what's really amazing? There are times where you've hung up on people and there's like this backlash. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. I'm betting you didn't hear from anyone.
No, just him.
Yeah. Oh, you heard from him?
Mike did.
And really?
Mike said to go back and listen to it. And then the guy went, he of course didn't, but he gave his reflection of the interview and the three things that went wrong in the interview. And of course he's not.
And how many were us? How many did he name were us?
One was me, one was John, and then one was you.
What did I do?
You asked the question about the fans, if they thought the fans thought they could win the series, which he thought was beneath him.
Yes.
That's true. I want to hear what he said. I want to read that. And he probably thought the doormat comment.
Well, yeah. And then he thought
which, by the way, was setting up the praise of Eric Spoelstra. Right.
And by the way, like, I mean, they're NBA coaches, first of all, so... I mean, what's the hell's the difference? But then also...
For the people that didn't hear it, that might be worth replaying.
All right, well, sure, I don't care.
I mean, there was a guy, it was the announcer for the Miami Heat, who was so condescending yesterday.
And then he didn't like that I said that I wouldn't like Tyler Herro if he was on the Celtics, which I don't know why he would have a problem with that. Yeah. I don't know what it's to him, who I like and don't like. I don't like Tyler Herro. I didn't like him at the draft. I don't like that he's from Wisconsin and talks like he's from the Queensburg projects. I mean, he's faking it. It's like faking Jamaican. He's faking like he's from the Queensboro Bridge Projects.
And by the way, did I call it or did I not? There is always some annoying commercial for a movie coming out this summer that has to feel like they have to tie in and with basketball. And it was for Thor. And it was, hey, we need a hero. And out comes Thor, and Tyler Herro comes out. And they're like, whoa, I guess we got a little mix-up here.
You know what movies seem to have done well, but I might be wrong, is Morpheus.
Morbius.
Or Morbius.
Morbius,
that
yes.
That seemed to just turn around and come out on DVD, lickety-split.
It was the worst. It was another method acting thing. Which, by the way, you know, Jared Leto, because he stays in character off the set, and apparently he developed quite a limp just from being a character with a limp. In real life, it manifested itself.
Okay.
He was the same one that when he played the Joker, he was sending people, like you know, poo. used prophylactics.
Like, literally, like, poo.
Mm-hmm.
All right, before we go to break, Bill, go ahead.
You have
an inclination?
I guess he thinks Zolak is banging out today.
I will say that the Walker is up a notch. If you take a look, it's up a peg to up the mountain. Maybe he knows he was going to be out today, so he moved it up one.
All right. Well, good. We didn't have to wait long. I'll tell you, apparently they were having a discussion yesterday talking about his water heater versus the ice at the end of my driveway.
I see.
But and the only reason that frustrates me is I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do. I can't get out. I can't get out. They plow me in. So now if there's a snowstorm, we're not even supposed to come in. They tell us just to stay home and do the show from home. But like it's with Hardy, it's so frustrating to me. Like I don't know what you want me to do. Like I suppose to go out at 1 a.m. and dig myself out, mm-hmm. which I'm not going to do. I'm not going out there at 1 in the morning and digging out advice.
I think if you can broadcast from home, we've earned that to not have to go and shovel.
I think this ice thing happened, oh, Jesus, Rich, 8 years ago.
Okay.
This happened in Brighton.
Okay.
Like, so this is a long time. They've been hanging on to this one for a long time. Listen, if the hot water heater breaks and no one else is around and someone has to be there to get the hot water guy, then you have to be there. They're the ones who challenged that. Listen, if you are the one at home and people have to come out to your house, I mean, that's what happened with me with the gas. Now, if I didn't have the capabilities to broadcast from home, I would have told my wife to stay home and had her be the one to stay home because she doesn't make nearly as much as I do. But with the ability to broadcast from home, I said, well, if you have to go to work and they're going to come out, then I'll broadcast from home. That's all.
But when we get back, Ime Udoka not only calls out several players by name,
yeah,
but we will get down into the specifics of what's going on with Al Horford, including a very awkward back and forth with the press and Ime Udoka answering questions about it.
Yeah, there's a point where you just got to say what's going on. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more Toucher and Rich. And whatever this is.
This son of Dan and Rick Flair, they're nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now Miami could take the lead. Vincent, pull up behind the screen. Misses the three badly, but the rebound is put back up and in by Jimmy Butler. Timeout, Ime Udoka.
Jimmy Butler, inside out.
Yeah. A 12-1 run for the Heat, and they have regained the lead. 9:02 to go, third quarter of game one.
You know, obviously Al and Marcus, two are veteran guys that kind of calm us down at times. You might miss that some, but like I said, it was a little bit of everybody. It wasn't just young guys and Peyton and those guys. It was Jason and some of our veterans making the same mistake, so no excuse there.
Hey, we got a Touch and Rich Radio program. Last night, the Celtics lose to Miami. They were minus Marcus Smart and Al Horford, Rich.
Yep. And now comes the question, like, when does Al Horford return? And to get that answer, apparently you need a degree in investigative journalism because, the vagueness of what goes on behind the scenes whenever anyone tests positive. Here's Ime Udoka before the game. I want to play a little bit of this because it seems like not even he's obviously frustrated. He's doesn't want to give up anything that he believes is personal. Just listen to how weird this whole exchange was.
Coach, when did you find out about Al? And based on NBA protocols, was today the first day the team was aware of this situation?
Found out about Al about 2 hours ago. And yes, today was first day.
Ime, did Al test positive?
As always, we don't comment on our status of our guys. No, he's feeling fine, and we'll go from there. Wait to see results in tests and future tests, and like always, I don't comment on our status.
Does this mean you miss Al for the first 2 games of this series?
Oh, it's unsure. That's more of a medical question, honestly, but there are different protocols and tests that have to be passed, and we'll know more going forward. But it's not a definite that he's out for 2 games.
Ime, is there any situation, given that you had the shoot-around and that Al was there and with huddles, and was there any situation with close contact with the rest of your players? Are they in any kind of watch situation?
I'm honestly unsure about that as of now.
By the way, what a dumb question. Did he test positive? Yeah, because if he tested negative, he'd be playing.
I just don't know why that's personal. And, like, I got kicked in the balls isn't. Like, I have swelling in my scrotum is not personal. But for some reason, having the coronavirus is something that can't be discussed. Like, they discussed this isn't, the bank, which where you still would have to disclose it. But this this is something where they give out injury reports on a daily basis.
Yeah, here's why they're not playing.
Yeah, like, here's why they're not playing. He tested positive for COVID. I don't understand why having COVID is any worse or more of a flamethrower of a privacy issue than getting your balls kicked in.
So this is the third time this season that Al Horford has been out for safety protocols. And the question is, why are they still testing on game day? I thought we were done with that. So I
must say, unless you're symptomatic, right?
Well, no, because even with that right now, well, I mean, if you're symptomatic, but it sounds like
according to me, he wouldn't have been symptomatic.
So according to the latest change of the NBA testing protocols that I could find, and it seems like the most updated one is January 14th. It reads that fully vaccinated players do not need to test on game day. The only ones that do need to test are players that are not fully vaccinated, and that means both vaxxed and boosted. So even though there is a report that Al Horford told Adam Himmelsbach at the Globe that he is vaccinated, even if that's true, if he's not boosted, then he still needs to be tested on game day. First of all, these rules are ridiculous. It's crazy that they still have them there, but that does say to me that most likely he probably isn't all the way vaccinated, if vaccinated at all.
Remember, and by the way, if you don't want to get vaccinated, that's your choice. I mean, stand up and say it. Just, I'm not vaccinated. I don't think it's right. I mean, what's going to happen? They're not going to take any money away from you.
But in this case, there's a chance that he could have gotten like one shot or maybe even two, but just not.
Well, that's well, then he still didn't comply to the NBA rules.
He didn't do everything he could.
Maybe he thought that, you know, the third one's what gives you the microchip. And so come out and say it. Why not? Why? I mean, be proud of it. If you're that concerned about it, it could hurt other people. Come out and make a statement. Yes, John.
We were talking in the closing weeks of the season where it looked like the Celtics were going to go play Toronto, and that's when Horford started to crowd around Horford because it was rumored he would not be able to play if the Celtics went up to Toronto, and Horford told the media, you know what? I'll be fine.
Yeah.
The feeling I have, based on everything that we know now, is Horford did get the two shots,
yep,
but didn't get the third simply because there wasn't time to.
Yeah.
You know, you have to wait a certain amount of time. So he is vaxxed but not boosted, but based on the information it seems we have.
However, once again, because you have to have like a doctor's degree to figure out all this
sure.
stuff here.
The protocols.
You are not punished if you are not – if you're inside the – amount of time that you're supposed to wait.
Because it wouldn't
you're
make any sense.
You're only punished
yeah.
if there is that window where you were supposed to get boosted.
Okay. Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense if he just got the second shot and then they're like, well, you're not boosted.
Because
the second shot would be, in theory, still effective.
Yeah, this is the only time where that is a problem is that if you were in that window where you were supposed to get boosted and you didn't.
I bet you he just never got vaccinated, which I don't know why he would have such a problem saying it.
See, I have a feeling that, much like John was saying, right before all of that back and forth, you know, in the final weeks of the season, I think he may have actually gotten his shots because they thought they might possibly go up to Canada, and he didn't want to be that guy. And then I just think he didn't get boosted.
We'll never know.
Which is strange. Now, left
here to theorize.
So last month, Bam Adebayo was placed in health and safety protocols on Sunday, April 10th, and wasn't cleared until April 16th.
Well, that's the new rules. As the CDC changed those rules right around Christmas time, and the NBA adapted their protocols at that time.
And that's this.
To match
yeah.
that, they went from 10 days in isolation down to 6 or 5, and the NBA basically did the same thing.
So it's if Horford is sidelined for 5 days, he could be cleared to return on Sunday, May the 22nd, which means he would miss two more games?
Yes, he'd be out game two and game three.
Okay. But then there's also this whole, which, once again, they're so vague on all this. Like, then there's the whole, can you test two negative tests in a row? And then you're able to come. The Charlie McAvoy thing, and I know that the NBA and the NHL might have two different things. Like, that was a shocker how quickly he was able to get back
from
that
one. No one knew the policy. No one knows the policy.
I don't understand why at this point through all of this, they need to be vague about how things are run and whether or not these people tested positive. Why he said, did he test positive for COVID? And Udoka was like, well, I can't really answer that. Well, of course he did. Then why he'd be playing if he didn't test positive.
Why can't you answer that when you can answer if they have an injury? It's the same thing. It's something is keeping him out. Which I guess it's for gamblers, let's be honest, but supposedly in a Candyland world, it's for the fans to know, like, why guys aren't playing and to understand and feel like they're a part of the action.
Mm-hmm.
But you can say in basketball, I mean, they don't go lower body or upper body. They just in basketball, they tell you what's wrong. Like, we knew Marcus Smart back in the last round had a swollen quad that made it very hard for him to get low. Like, we knew everything about it. But for some reason with COVID, it's this big HIPAA thing where you can't say anything. Where it's BS. If he's not vaccinated, again, that's great. Come out and say you're not vaccinated. If it means that much to you, just say it. Go, I'm not vaccinated. If you have a problem with it, F you.
The only thing that I don't know, and maybe John or, you know, we can do some digging throughout the show, but, Dan Shaughnessy brought up something, and Fred, you had mentioned it earlier, that video of everyone kind of in a huddle at shoot-around before
they'll get tested.
Like, is that true? Is that part of the rules now? That if somebody was positive that, just because you were around them, even if you're one of these players that is fully vaccinated and boosted, do you still have to get tested?
I would imagine because you can still... Listen, okay, I don't know. But
that's another thing. All this is so vague.
The NHL sheds. Policy is if you don't get tested unless you're symptomatic.
Yep.
No, but if you're within a known close contact?
I don't think that counts anymore.
It depends on how long. Was it like a four-second huddle? Or was he talking in 10 minutes?
Now you don't know.
Well, I just haven't seen... I'm reading...
I'm talking to John. Okay. John's just talking out of his ass now.
Well, no, it's... Close contact is defined as not a four-second interlude between guys.
I would say practicing with a guy is close contact.
But I'm reading the updated protocols on January 6th, and it says nothing about that.
What do I know? I don't know. All I know is Liv Shedd said it was a very big deal.
Put it this way. I would expect that that's not going to be a big deal. I haven't heard one thing yet that that is going to be, except for Liv Shedd. And listen, Liv Shedd is connected.
Mr. Pickles has told him.
So I wouldn't worry about that much. The only thing that I would be concerned about is this team without two guys as important as Marcus Smart and Al Horford, because as you saw yesterday, they just need fresh legs. They need bodies. They need people to take some of the burden off of, you know, their stars, because last night, that third quarter can't happen again.
Well, Robert Williams got tired in 5 minutes.
Well, so. That was expected. Like,
I know, but that's another starter that can't play for very long.
It's true. It's true.
I mean, he was fatigued after two slam-a-jammas.
and then cramped up later.
Yeah, I mean, big deal. You're 7 feet tall. You can slam-a-jam all day.
He looked good.
Oh, please.
He did look good.
He looked good. Big deal.
Robert Williams,
he
what?
He took lob passes and dunked.
Blocked a bunch of defensive plays.
He looked normal. He looked like Robert Williams until he got tired and cramped up late.
Yeah, but his slam-a-jammas are not good.
They're the best slam-a-jammas in the business.
You're rating the slam-a-jammas now?
If you're 7 feet tall and you get a lob pass, yeah, big deal. You could dunk.
He's not faking the funk on a nasty dunk.
No, but he's not bringing you any razzle-dazzle. That's for sure.
I see.
It's just up and down. Who cares? So, I don't know. It's very private, the whole COVID thing. It's so private. No one ever talks about it. No one can know. But again, if you don't want to get vaccinated and you feel like you're being wrongly punished, you should come out and say something about it. You should say, hey, America, this is wrong. I feel like it's my body and I don't want to get vaccinated. Why am I being punished? But instead, they don't. They don't say anything and they leave it for us to wildly speculate when we have no idea what we're talking about.
All right, if you didn't hear it yesterday, because it was late in the show, we had a moment with a gentleman who is the TV play-by-play person for the Miami Heat, and you might know him from his press conferences, or I'm sorry, the pep rally that he had when the Big Three first came to Miami with the not one LeBron, not two, not three, which, by the way, I did not know that was him going into this interview. And things did not go well.
No, he was. You be your own judge. There was a lot of speculation and conversation. So we will play this for you, and we will not lead you in any way. Just you have your own thoughts on what happened. We'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.